This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
He is Jeff Phelps. I am Andy Baskin, and we are talking a little bit about the Guardians. So, Jeff, I'm just kind of digesting where the Guardians are. Obviously, we're in a great place right now. You know, they've locked up the second seed. That's amazing. They still have a shot at being the top seed in the American League. And, you know, for whatever that's worth, they still now have a couple days rest. They do not have to play in the wild card series, so that's going to sit as we wait to see how that shakes out. I mean, that may not wrap up until Sunday to see who the Guardians will get the winner of. So they still have to figure out what's going on with the wild card teams, all four of them. So it's going to be fun to sit back, watch, and see what happens, especially this weekend when Houston comes to town. I was just kind of looking at odds. And while we're extremely excited and trying to, I don't know, figure out how far they can go with this thing, I've been looked at FanDuel, our good friends at FanDuel. I've been looking at their odds, and to win the World Series, they're 13-1, which puts them third best in the American League. The Dodgers are have the best chance, according to the odds, of winning the World Series. Then the Phillies, the Yankees, the Astros, the Orioles, the Padres, then the Guardians, and then the Brewers after that. So, again, they're going off at 13-1 to win the World Series. I don't know. I think that's kind of intriguing. You know, they're in the middle of the pack there. I just don't know what's going to happen. You get hot, you can win it. And
that's the thing about baseball playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you play 162, it's clear who the best teams are. But then they throw that away, and you add all of these teams into the playoffs, and you win a best of three, you advance. You win a best of five, you advance. You win a best of seven, you advance. Any team...
Best of seven, right? It's 3-7-7, isn't it?
3-5-7.
Double check that. That's okay. Keep going.
It's and I thought it was 3-7-7 as well.
Oh, you did.
But it's 3-5-7.
Okay.
Any team can get hot. If you get into the postseason, you can get hot. The White Sox, in theory, could get hot, but they're not in there. But so that's why I understand, you know, why you do that and all. And but any team can get hot and go.
Yep. I mean, we sit here, we talk about the rotation if you want to too. Again, but I kind of feel like, you know what? If there's ever been a year for this team to break through and with zero expectations and I just, for some reason, I kind of think they're built to be this kind of playoff darling this year, to be able to.
Because you've enjoyed the story and you want to see it continued.
Yeah.
That's no guarantee of anything, as we both know. You know, the thing about this one right now, Andy, to me is this. Lane Thomas has warmed up. Kyle Manzardo has come back from Columbus and looks like a completely different hitter. Jose's hitting the ball just fine. Josh Naylor's hitting the ball just fine. That's four guys. That's more than we had before. Stephen Kwan's coming back. What's he going to look like? If Stephen finds something again, that's five guys. All of a sudden, this lineup looks a heck of a lot better than we thought it was going to. John Kenzie Noel's been in September. Maybe he warms up. You know, right now, and as much as we all like him and the pop he can provide, he's not hitting very well in September. I would like to see him have a couple of good games here to close the season. That's my concern, is this team won't hit in the postseason. But Lane Thomas has been terrific. Thank goodness. And Kyle Manzardo has been a great addition here in September.
Bybee lock up the...
Oh, there's no question.
The number one
no question.
Start in the playoffs?
As long as it falls okay. And I would think it would.
I don't see why
you're
going to
get the extra time off, so you can do anything you want, really.
Yeah, I mean, he goes from the 24th. He won't see another game until, what, October 1st? Right? Wouldn't see another game until October 1st. So I would think, Dan, do you agree with that, that Bybee's locked up the spot to be the game one starter?
Heck yeah. Okay, who else are you throwing out there?
Well, I look.
And he won seven.
That's not meant to be a smart aleck thing. That's meant to be like a good job, Tanner Bibee.
And he went
nice
seven
job,
yesterday.
Bud. Yeah, that's why. That was the reason.
I like the idea of a guy going seven innings. Let's see if he can do it again.
The thought of not having to use the bullpen? Wow. Especially, we sit around and we talk about how burned out they should be, but they're not. And they're just resilient, that bullpen. You can tell them, oh, you've pitched too many innings, or I can't believe that they've tried. Who cares? What's the difference? I don't know why, but these guys have been able to shake off especially the bullpen, has been able to shake off any criticism you might think. And it's not like we're criticizing them. It's the usage of the bullpen and whether they're going to be able to maintain throughout the playoffs. And now Bybee's looking at, he'll throw a bullpen. He might even have to throw two bullpens before he gets back out if they're going to make him the game one starter. So now, when you look at these next four games, who are your other starters going to be? And I kind of like this. I like the fact that it's not set in stone, that you know exactly what you're going to do. And
no,
that
I wish it was.
I don't know. I'm kind of okay with it.
That way you knew you were rock solid there. You got a real good idea. It's going to be Bybee. It's going to be Matthew Boyd. If Cobb's healthy, it's going to be Alex Cobb. I mean, you're not going to not throw Alex Cobb if he's healthy and good to go. He's going to get a start in the postseason. He's a gamer.
I want to see him here. It'll be interesting to see how long they let Cantillo go tonight and see what he can do against Cincinnati. I don't know. I really, really like this kid. I hope he gets – I'd love to see him get a start. I just don't know.
You'll see him next year.
Why wouldn't you stay with him now, though? He's red hot.
I can't disagree with you.
I wonder where the –
I wonder how many guys you're going to start. I mean, you're going to be in a five-game series.
Hopefully you only have to start three.
You're going to be – yeah. It'd be nice.
But. And then maybe you could be able to use him as your fourth pitcher in the ALDs. I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks you could stick him in the top three and let him pitch in this, in that DS.
Well, if Alex Cobb's not good to go, Andy, I would think Cantillo would be a very logical choice.
What's the last update we've had on Cobb? Anybody hear anything recently? Did you hear anything in the clubhouse last
night?
Nothing, just kind of wait and see?
Just still day-to-day. Bullpen went well a few days ago. Still just trying to figure out next steps. I don't really feel too confident about it because I guess he's just a pitcher that has hand problems and blisters that just come up a lot. So, I don't know. I'd be a little tentative with him.
You're not confident that they'll use him to start, or you're not confident he'll be able to pitch in the playoffs?
I'm not confident that he'll be able to pitch. I think Stephen Vogt likes him. Obviously, his last start against the Pirates was really encouraging through near a perfect game through six innings. I'm just a little cautious with what we can get out of him in the postseason.
Look, you were in the clubhouse last night. What's the mood in there right now? I mean, they've got to have a ton of confidence. I mean, they're coming up with big wins.
Yeah, I'd say vibes are really high. I mean, they were talking about the AL Central rankings and how the Tigers have really surged up to being the number two spot right now in the Central. And I think right now it's still day-to-day because that's Vogt's message and they approach every day the same. But they're going to start projecting to these playoffs here soon.
Did you take a bottle of champagne out of there last night or not?
There was no champagne last night.
I'm not telling you. Oh, that was fake champagne from last night? All of this stuff is Photoshop that's out there right now? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Perhaps.
So no champagne last night. That's false. That's flying around there. Those T-shirts about Cincinnati being in Kentucky, that's false too, right? I need verification from you. You were there just making sure that we don't believe our eyes, what we see on social media. Hammer it home, baby. Say it's all fake.
It is all fake.
There you go. Wow. We are about truth. Truth here on Baskin and Phelps. Robert's in Brecksville. Hi, Robert.
Hey, so you said Bybee started yesterday, right? Because I can't pay the catcher.
Yes.
All right. So wouldn't he so I got a few questions about that. Wouldn't he start on the 29th, the last game, or mathematically, like, for five games?
Wait, I'm confused. What are you asking?
First, wouldn't he be starting on the 29th anyways? Because you said he might not pitch until game one of the ALDS.
Yeah,
because
they're 2 weeks.
But
they're lined up to have all five of their guys over the last five games. So Bibee, okay. Cantillo, Lively, Boyd, Williams.
So where I'm going with this is I'm going to throw two scenarios at you, and then I want to ask you a question about it.
Sure.
Going into the 29th, either A, we have already clinched the number one seed to where it's essentially a meaningless game, or B, going into the 29th, we are mathematically eliminated from the one seed. Wouldn't you think it would be better to, since we're going to have that 7-8 days off, to do a bullpen game anyways to get all of our guys in the bullpen some work so they're not off for seven straight days? Wouldn't that be a better idea instead of having them start?
Well, I mean,
or have BB start for like a couple of batters, 3-4 batters, and then just essentially do a whole bullpen game so everybody gets a little bit of work.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Sorry, Carl Willis is great at this. They'll have everybody ready to go when they need to go, Robert. I don't mean to poo-poo your strategy on that. It could work. Whatever they decide to do.
You guys work and live sports. I just listen to it.
Carl will be putting these guys in the proper spot so that they are ready, fresh, good to go when it's time to throw in the playoffs.
All right, I just want to see what you thought on it.
Yeah, I'm just looking. Again, October 1st is when the playoffs start. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate the phone call. So you're looking at... when you get to the divisional series, that's October 5th. So you're looking at his next start could be October 5th. I don't know. I said first. Sorry about that. That's when the wild card series start. The divisional series start on Saturday, October 5th. So wow, I mean, you could be looking at not pitching till a week from Saturday. It's a lot of days off. I don't know, but you keep throwing bullpens.
They'll be fine.
Yeah, so 24. You're looking at 5, 7, 12 days off.
I would rather deal with time off than have to win a three-game series to get to the next round. So there.
Fair enough. I agree. Give it a chance.
That's why you try and win as many games so that you can avoid that three-game series.
Andrew Siciliano from the Browns Radio Network. Also, you'll be able to hear him call the Ohio State game on Peacock on Saturday night. He will join us next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is the busiest man in North America this weekend. You'll hear him call both the Ohio State Michigan State game on Peacock Saturday night. And of course, you know him and love him from the Browns Radio Network. You'll be able to hear him call the Browns and Raiders on Sunday. He is Mr. Andrew Siciliano. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
Busiest or luckiest? One of the two, guys. Good morning.
A little of both. How about that?
Congratulations.
Okay. I'll go with luckiest. Yeah.
All right, first let's start with the Browns. The offensive line is an absolute mess right now. How do they figure this thing out, my friend?
Oh, I mean, a lot depends on health, clearly. The issue is that when healthy, and they have not really been fully healthy, say, for a quarter or two this past week, you don't necessarily know what you're going to get. Communication seems to be an issue, picking up twists and stunts. Definitely seems to be an issue. Teams are going to just blitz them to death until they figure out, A, who's healthy, and B, what they can stop. And right now, that's the biggest issue. I mean, I never thought that. If you had told me last week on Sunday morning Jed Wills back. Hey, he's back. He's in the lineup. I know Jack Conklin tweaked the hamstring last week, but at least you got the guy on the right side, DeJuan Jones, who was all rookie team last year and started half the season and played well and was everyone's rookie darling, and you get Jed back on the left side. Look, this is to go Star Wars here. This battle station is fully operational. If we were going to end the game with Joel Bitonio at left tackle and Posick at left guard and Nick Harris at center and Zach Sinner at right guard, I would have opened up a bottle and started drinking early. How about that? I did not think that's what we were going to see. Look, Joel can hold it down if need be, and Nick Harris actually played pretty well at center. It's just not ideal. And when you can't get that part figured out, then you can't get the run game figured out. You can't get the blitz pickup figured out, and you're struggling for answers. And hopefully we get some of them today, but in reality, no matter what answers we get today, I think everybody knows you're not really going to get them until you get on the field on Sunday.
Andrew, the expression you hear from linemen.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
All the time, we'd prefer to run block than pass block. I would think if you have issues on your offensive line, you'd be better off run blocking. As you just said, there are certainly some issues there. But in a game that didn't seem to get away from you, even though you were down 21-7 at halftime, you ran only 12 times with your running backs. I was surprised by that. Is that something they get back to, or do you what do you think?
I mean, I would love to see more, but certainly, and this is something, guys, we talked about last week, considering what the Browns did with the heavy sets and running in Jacksonville with the jumbo personnel on the field. The Giants came into that game 72% light box. In other words, 72% of the light box and favorable run looks from that defense. Now, to be fair, some of that came from the fact that they had played the Commanders the week before. Washington spreads everything out, takes it sideline to sideline, and the Giants' defense, in turn, is spread out. And those numbers through only 2 weeks were skewed. Obviously, running the football against a team with those numbers and with that advantageous look, you think you would do. The Browns did not come out that way. I would think some of that has to do with the fact that you had Jed back and you thought you had your base personnel that you could win with. But the turnovers, the strip sack leading to the late touchdown in the second quarter. And then let's not forget, they were moving and they had the momentum. I mean, if you had told me they were going to lose after the two-point conversion to Judy, I would have laughed at you. I mean, the energy was back in the building. The bark, if you want to say that, was back in the building. And they got the ball back. And I mean, the Jerome Ford fumble in midfield just sunk you. It just flat out sunk you. He's not the only reason they lost. But I mean, that was the gut punch from which they could not recover.
All right, so let me nitpick just a little bit here. Why did they have success in that fourth quarter? What happened there that wasn't happening in the beginning of the game?
I mean, they went hurry up. They got the ball out quickly. And they found Amari a couple of times. And, you know, they made some plays. They also had this, what was it, a 16-yard run by Deshaun to get him down there to set up the first touchdown, which, if memory serves, was the longest run of the day. You know, it was one where the ball could have come out. It didn't come out. And then, you know, he somehow got through traffic. And he made a great play. That was, you know, I hate to say that was the Deshaun at Houston. Well, I mean, look, that was a guy that still has the athletic ability to make those plays when need be. Do you do more with the quarterback run game? I don't know. You also don't want to get the guy killed. He's been pressured 57 times and, you know, hit every time you look up.
Is the defense okay in your mind?
I think it's been okay for about 85% of the time, and they've given up some long drives, certainly. I think it was okay in the second half. They cleaned things up last week. I mean, it was okay when Ronnie Hickman had the pick. And again, talk about momentum.
Yeah.
That pick obviously got overturned right then and there. The defense, if you still needed it to win games, absolutely. And I still think that there is greatness in this defense. Have you guys watched the Raiders yet from last week?
I have not, no.
Okay, I did that last night. They're not good. They're just not. They're as bad a run team as there is in the NFL. Gardner Minshew, who, look, gave the Browns a lot of trouble with Shane Steichen calling plays, and that's significant here, not Luke Getsy. I'm not disparaging Luke Getsy, but it was a different offense is my point.
Right.
They had different backs. They had different talent. Gardner Minshew gave him a lot of trouble last year. But there's not, you know, Trey Tucker could take the top off. with you know, the former Cincinnati Bearcat. He's got a lot of downhill speed. But it's Brock Bowers and Devontae Adams this week, and no one on defense. Max Crosby's banged up.
Right.
I mean, he's out there fighting, but he's banged up.
I think Antonio Pierce's comments, though, about guys making business decisions might work in their favor this week. I'm curious to see what they, how they respond to that, because when a coach calls out your team, that's pretty serious in week three.
It is, and I forgot Christian Wilkins on defense, obviously the former Dolphin who's up there in the middle of the line, another defensive tackle that Deshaun played with at Clemson last week. It was Dexter Lawrence. I am very curious to see how that turns out. He has the respect of his locker room. He is a former player. He's the only coach that wears an earring, as far as I can tell. So he's a different dude. I love him. Everything I've ever done with Antonio Pierce over the years, I love the guy. But if you're going to call your team out like that and say, we're going to make business decisions, he was asked on the podium on Monday, what are those decisions? And he said, I haven't talked to the team yet. Okay, well, I'm curious. You kind of sort of have to make them, right, if you're going to threaten them like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they? My colleague Ian Rappaport has already said it's not going to be the quarterback. It is still going to be Minshew. Max Crosby went on the air Monday and said he still wants Minshew. So what are those business decisions? I mean, they are in the midst of a roster makeover with new GM Tom Telesco. There are only so many decisions you can truly make and put a good product out there. So I am fascinated at what they look like this week.
Telesco, one of the many John Carroll alums working around the NFL.
Absolutely.
What's Devontae Adams have left? Or is that not even a fair question? Is he still the guy?
He's still the guy. Is he the same guy he was 4 years ago? Probably not. If you threw him with the Jets with Aaron Rodgers right now, would he get 12 targets and probably catch 7 of them for $115? Yeah, he's still the guy.
Okay.
And he's still big. He could still get every contested catch. And don't think he won't run by you, because he still can.
I don't want to let you go before I ask you about Ohio State, because they're at Michigan State this week. On paper, you might say, okay, this might be their biggest challenge so far. We'll see how this thing goes against Michigan State. But I do think the one thing Ohio State's getting better at every week is their offensive line is getting better. But they've got so many weapons. Your thoughts on this game that you're going to be calling on Saturday night on Peacock?
Donovan Jackson coming back last week was huge. Mm-hmm. They're going a lot sideline to sideline, rather taking the strikes downfield. I mean, the one deep ball by Will Howard last week was, I don't want to say it was a bit underthrown, but I know Joe Klapp pointed out on the broadcast, you put a little extra air out there, maybe Jermaine goes and gets it. I'm excited by this team. I mean, you see Judkins run. I mean, not to take away from Craig Henderson, but you see Judkins run. I mean, the stiff arm on that run around left end of the end zone last week, where he just planted a guy. It was Nick Chubb, like helmet, face, hand to the side of the helmet, right to the ground. I am excited to see them play, and I'm curious to talk to Ryan Day this week. Do you miss calling plays? Because Chip and the variety in that running game, it's really, really fun to watch right now.
Yeah, make sure you get your bring your Sharpie for Jeremiah Smith to get an autograph after that game. That kid is something else. He's awesome.
Yeah, he is something else. And tip the cap to like Carnell Tate as well, who you got 4 and 5 stars out there blocking, and they are physical in the run game. They have to be on the perimeter. It is really fun to watch.
It is. Let's see what happens this week. It's going to be great. I can't wait to hear you both times this weekend, not only on Peacock for Ohio State, Michigan, but, of course, enjoy doing the pregame show. Get ready for Fact or Fiction before the game as the Browns take on. It's the Browns take on.
Part of the week.
Really, that should be, I hope you're not really studying too hard for the games. Worry about Fact or Fiction. That's all I really care about. So
you got it, guys.
It's all about me. Thank you, Andrew.
See you, Andrew.
You must enjoy Fact or Fiction. It's not an inside joke. I'm just telling you. You want to be a part of that for the pregame show. 216-474-0092. Andrew Siciliano, again, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.